This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Aston Villa, there you go. It is the Aston Villa fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I will be joined by Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. What a show we have for you for the next 30 minutes. The football returns this weekend, but not till Monday for Aston Villa. They take on Newcastle, and Newcastle are doing fairly well at the minute, but it's bigger than that because Steve Bruce returns. We're going to be talking all about that return and, amongst other things, Tyrone Mings in action for England this week. What have Villa done over this time of the international break? How are they fearing up for this busy festive period, this congested run of fixtures that they face? The Premier League season is truly upon us. I am joined by Ryan Pitcher, though, as I am joined every week, as I am joined every Aston Villa fan show. And if you joined us last week, then you had a treat, because we don't just get to talk football on the show. We don't just talk our best 11, Aston Villa's best 11. We get to talk about having kids one day. And I still can't get over the fact that Ryan Pitcher said he's going to name his son Juan Pablo Pitcher. And I'll be honest, Ryan, I've not stopped thinking about it since.
Well, are you going to father? Are we, you know, are we going down that route, are we?
Well, godfather, I was thinking, yeah, possibly, yeah. I mean, honestly, it just tickled me so much. The fact that you want to name your kid Juan Pablo Pitcher. Since announcing that on radio, Ryan, how has that gone down?
Well, the missus already knows anyway, so it wasn't a surprise to her. But, yeah, I've had a few comments, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, what, good or bad?
No, bad. She thinks I should get with, you know, a Spanish or a Colombian person. But yeah, no, it's a definite no go for her. So yeah, maybe Olof. Olof, I think, is the second choice. So
yeah, second choice. I'm a bit gutted you've got the stick there, because I felt like you should have been allowed it, Ryan. You know, why not? You had your reasons, and I think you're right. Not only are we going to be talking, obviously, all about the game against Newcastle on that Monday night, we're going to be talking about Tyrone Mings, his performance against Kosovo for England. Everyone's saying not the greatest of game, but the stats said different, didn't they, Ryan? We're going to be talking about that. And also, we're going to be talking about Aston Villa women's side, because they are doing wonders this season, top of the table, and I really want to get your thoughts on it. Let's start, though, before we look at that Newcastle game, let's talk about Tyrone Mings and those Aston Villa players that have been off international duty this week. It's been a mixed one here, Ryan. Stats are saying good. Pundits and fans are like saying wasn't the most solid performance from Tyrone. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I noticed a lot of fans giving him stick on social media about his performance last night. I think, you know, there is a jealousy aspect to some supporters. You know, you've got Wolves fans giving it large, because I think, you know, they believe that, you know, Connor Cody should have a call-up. And we've seen it from Norwich fans, we've seen it from Sheffield United fans, all with English defenders, centre-halves, that think that they should be, you know, given a go. And I think they think that it's because his price tag is in there. Yeah, I mean, when you break down the stats, he wasn't that bad, you know, 100% tackling success, the most touches in the team, high accuracy, you know. He was also responsible for the most clearances, but stats didn't really tell the full tale. As if truth be told, he didn't really look at his best, but it's got to be said, neither did most of them. So I don't think you can really blame Tyrone for that, as that's what you get when you're constantly playing minnows at international level. It's only natural for players to take the foot off the gas, I believe, so to speak, when you're playing sides like that. And I think, like with most players, it's only when you have a serious testing you tend to raise your game. And from watching Mings for the best part of a year now, I've noticed that he does tend to up it when he's put under a bit of pressure and tested. So no disrespect to countries like Kosovo, who, you know, as we've seen over two games, they aren't a bad footballing side, and they're certainly not the worst minnow nation, so to speak, if truth be told. But I don't think these are the sorts of games where a true measure of a top player's capabilities are really shown through.
Yeah, and you know, obviously Tyrone Mings, he had that debut in Bulgaria and all of the incidents that came with, but it is just brilliant to see him playing from England, and especially from a Villa perspective, because rising up through non-league, you want your players to represent their country. And yes, England have qualified, and Kosovo, you know, one of the minnows, you mentioned it there. But when Southgate does rotate, it's brilliant that Mings comes into that side, other people getting their chance, and, you know, he's letting them have their chance than rather sticking with that side, even though Kane and the likes of them still playing. Tyrone Mings is obviously clearly firmly in that mix and in his plans, isn't he?
Yeah, and I hope he is. The problem that we've got is we don't really have that many games before the Euros. We'll obviously have a few friendlies and warm-up games and whatnot, but there isn't that really that many opportunities. And I think we're fortunate at the minute. We've got competition all over the place as an international setup. You know, Mings, I think, deserves his chance, and hopefully he's still well in mind come the end of the season. Obviously, it is dependent on how he gets on at club level, so let's just hope he keeps it up. And regardless of what position we're in, is we know that we can rely on Mings at Villa, so hopefully it's recognised at international level.
Yeah, definitely. And I wanted to quickly talk about the international games. And I know this is the Villa the fan show, but obviously Tyrone Mings playing last night. And obviously there's been a lot of what's happened with England on international duty at the minute, Bulgaria. And we were playing Kosovo last night. And obviously, you know, the fans, brilliant welcome, welcoming England, welcoming the players, welcoming the fans. And Ryan, this is a place that you've been, isn't it? And you wanted to speak on Kosovo a little bit about that, didn't you?
Yeah, I just thought it was brilliant to see the reaction to England last night, as you say, from the people of Kosovo. It was really special and heartwarming. You know, we get so much negative press. And, you know, I was there a couple of years ago, and Pristina is a beautiful city, and it's full of really great people. You know, ever since I was a child, I've taken a really keen interest in war and international relations. And so, along with what happened in Bosnia in the early 90s, and then later towards the back end of the 90s between Kosovo and what was then Yugoslavia, you know, those were the first two conflicts that I took a real interest in. I was only really young, you know. But no, the city itself, Pristina, the museums, the visuals, and the stories told are extremely moving. And it's just wonderful that this small nation can now play football as an independent state recognised by UEFA and FIFA. And I know I'm really starting to sound like some kind of sales rep for travel to Kosovo, but I'd really urge people, particularly football fans, to go there if they get a chance to. I know that I'll definitely be going back sometime soon. You know, I recall when I wore my Villa shirt in Pristina, and I had so many people coming up to me to talk football, and they just love it out there. I remember sat eating my breakfast one morning in a cafe, and the waiter who saw me in my Villa top, and he honestly just sat with me for like half an hour chatting football and just ignored the fact that he had like customers to serve. But on a serious note, there is a big difference between the haves and have-nots out in Kosovo, and it was very noticeable. And when walking the back streets, I did notice some children kicking about a flat football, and so I just went and bought a few and headed back there to give out some footballs, and obviously to see their faces light up when I handed them some new footballs. They didn't understand English, but it was really quite something. But yeah, no, it's definitely a beautiful place.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so nice to hear, Ryan, of your experiences. And, you know, you mentioned it there, Kosovo now. It's nice that they're part of these competitions and take part. And, you know, regardless if they are one of the minnows, they're not one of the big footballing nations, you know, we're talking about them in a positive light. You know, some of what the bigger nations can't do. You know, we know the trouble that, you know, the England players and England fans have had. But, you know, it's almost now Kosovo leading the way and shedding that good light, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously it does help with, obviously, our intervention with what happened over in the late 90s with the old Yugoslavia. But no, it's brilliant to see, and that's what we want to see at all football games. And I'd like to think that, you know, we can learn our lessons as well. Listen, English football culture isn't pretty, historically. So I hope that we can take lessons from how Kosovo treat supporters that are coming to their country, especially ourselves. And, hopefully, they get to the Euros and it'll be great to see them there.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, still to come on the show, we're still going to be looking at that huge game with Newcastle on the weekend and the next run of fixtures. But Ryan, I just wanted to quickly ask you, because I want to talk about the positive news that is Aston Villa women top of the table and absolutely flying. I know you do a lot of coverage under a gaslit lamp, and you know, how proud are you of this team at the minute and what they're doing in the Championship?
Yeah, I think the women's team, you know, as you say, deserve a really special shout-out. You know, although it's still early days, you know, we're sitting top of the Women's Championship, the second tier in women's football. We beat Coventry United yesterday, and now unbeaten in seven with six wins and a draw. And in fact, we've got the top goal scorer in the division with Melissa Johnson up top. You know, she's got 10 goals already this season. So I really want to urge all Villa fans, really, that, you know, if they get the opportunity to go and see them play, they play at the Trevor Brown Memorial Ground in Boldmere. So if anyone gets a chance to go and watch them this season, then I really do urge fans to go and do so and get behind them. You know, it'll be just absolutely fantastic to see them in the top flight and playing against real top women's sides, you know. I think they're away at Coventry in the Cup on Wednesday, and can't remember who they've got after that, but I know in a couple of weeks they've got a top of the table clash away at London B. So, you're right. Under a gaslit lamp does really good coverage of the women's team, so it's definitely worthwhile checking that out as well.
Well, yeah, this is it. And for honestly, anyone who does want to follow Aston Villa women, please go to Under a Gaslit Lamp and Ryan Pitcher. But you know, you mentioned it there. We're talking such a successful Women's World Cup. You know, the Lionesses selling out Wembley only recently in the past couple of weeks, playing a game there. You know, just under 90,000. Arsenal and Spurs, the North London Derby was this weekend, 38,000. That was a record for a domestic game. Aston Villa, you know, they carry on like this. They're leading the Championship now. They're going to find themselves in the Women's Super League, aren't they? And it's only getting bigger. And it's just a brilliant all-round experience, isn't it, Roy?
Yeah. I enjoy watching. I mean, when it comes to gender, I'm not really fussed whether I'm watching men's or women's football. You know, I watch, same with cricket, you know, athletics, etc. I watch any women's game equivalent. But no, I mean, we're flying at the minute, and needless to say, is getting into the top flight in the women's league, it would be a massive step for the club. And you know, there's maybe an opportunity later on down the line, particularly with the project that's going on all around Aston Villa, is potential maybe even to go professional, which would be incredible. But yeah, it's really exciting times, both for the men and the women, which is just brilliant to see.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, Villa being now back in the Premier League themselves, Aston Villa women hoping to get there. Well, the Premier League does return this weekend, although Villa have to wait until that Monday night game at home, Villa Park, 8 o'clock to Newcastle. And it's not just facing an informed Newcastle, it is the return of Steve Bruce, and we're going to get Ryan's thoughts on that one next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm still joined by the legend that is Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. And also, there is still time for you to join us tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558, and your Villa views can be heard. It's what we do on Love Sport Radio, your team, your voice. Well, Ryan, there was no game for us to get our teeth into from the weekend, but it is the Premier League. It does return this weekend, Villa taking on Newcastle. There's so much from this Newcastle game to talk about. Obviously, they're in form. Villa, if it's fair to say, have had a mini slump, but the return of Steve Bruce is another bigger storyline. But Ryan, before we get into that, because I know you're going to want to say a few fair things about it, has the international break, did it come at the right time for Villa? And what have you heard on in terms of injuries or things that they've worked on? Any sound bites from the club and Dean Smith?
Not too much, really. You know, Jack's back in training, which is obviously the biggest news for us.
Massive.
Because, like I said last week, it's not just about having Jack back. It's not just about having our captain back, but he does really make us tick, and he makes other players tick. So that's the pivotal one for us. No major news. You know, I'm sure we'll have others back in the fold as well. But yeah, I'm the international break was a godsend. So I'm just delighted that we've had that time, and yeah, expect faces to be back, and yeah, we'll go into that game looking to win it, obviously.
Yeah, Ryan, when you say godsend, is that just because of the injuries and now that Aston Villa can count? And obviously, I know Grealish is integral to everything that Villa do. Or are you just from a form standpoint losing the last three, or is it a combination of both those elements?
Yeah, it's definitely a combination of both those. I just think it gives us a brilliant opportunity to refocus, and we really needed that. And, you know, the Newcastle game is massive. I think, you know, when you talk about the game itself, you know, this is an opportunity to really, you know, give us a little bit of confidence going into, you know, some really tough one of games after that. So, yeah, no, this is a huge game.
Yeah, well, this is it, and this is the interesting thing, because I know we're talking about the Newcastle game, but, you know, it's Newcastle, 25th of November, next Monday. Then after that is Man United away, Chelsea away, Leicester at home. We know Leicester are flying, and look, obviously we're hoping for a Villa win on that Monday night. Villa get the result, but if they don't, it's four losses on the spin, and then it's United, Chelsea and Leicester, and then... Could we, you know, we all do it as fans, knee-jerk reaction, the panic sets in. Can you see, you know, if they go those four games to the three they've already lost, a growing sense of concern here, Ryan?
Yeah, I don't think we want to hit panic buttons just yet. I mean, you mentioned them, and then we've obviously got Sheffield United away, which is a tricky proposition as well. But all of those are before what you might conventionally describe as winnable games after that. But, of course... You know, all games are winnable, but when you're out of form, then these fixtures are a little bit daunting. Like I said last week, I really think it's about getting to January with as many points on the board and looking to see what we can bring in just to aid us through to the end of the season in our quest to stay up, really, which I believe that we still will stay up. I genuinely believe that. But yeah, the Newcastle game is a big, big game for boosting confidence. It's one of those that if we win, we might be able to ride away, but defeat and, yeah, you know, a few nerves might start jangling a little bit, I think it's fair to say.
Well, they might start jangling. That's why Monday night's game to Newcastle is a very, very big clash indeed. It is Newcastle. They're in form. They've had a really good run of late, you know, when they weren't having the best starts to a season. They were down there. They were very worried. And it's a familiar man in charge, Ryan, in Steve Bruce. What are you making about his return to Villa Park?
Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to the game itself and seeing what kind of reception Bruce gets from us. You know, it was well publicised in the Villa blogosphere that I was never his biggest fan, and even when he came in and went unbeaten in his opening eight games as boss, I critiqued him then. His style of football, you know, just I knew that it wouldn't be sustainable for success, and he relied heavily on individual talent as opposed to, you know, his setup and style of play and tactics or lack of to grind out results. And despite Newcastle's upturn in fortune and the adulation he's currently getting in the media, I can tell you something for nothing. Newcastle will still have a job to survive this season. You know, all told, with a few bodies back, I expect us to go out and make a statement next Monday night. But in terms of my reaction, what it will be towards him, I don't think I have it in me to boo him, but I'm sure we'll give him a little bit of stick, especially about his favourite line as Villa manager, you know, when he always gave it that we'll be there or thereabouts, which I'm sure we'll sing along to the tune of Bob Marley's Don't Worry About a Thing. I'm sure that'll be roaring from the Holt next Monday night. But no, credit where credit's due, though. He did manage us through a difficult time, you know. He did lose both of his parents, and, you know, we're all human, and I think it's important to remember that. And I admired him through that time in terms of his want to continue working through that period of his life. But for us, the best thing that could have happened to us was not going up against Fulham at the time. I was devastated. That was obviously our first playoff final. You know, as he might have still been here today. And as someone who enjoys watching good football, he's the last person you want to be managing if entertainment's your bag, you know.
Yeah, well, and it's funny how things work out sometimes. Obviously, you want Villa back in the Premier League. They don't. Steve Bruce goes, the new man in charge. Dean Smith comes in. Obviously, people in between. And then, you know, you're now in there. You're now at the Premier League. But, you know, Newcastle fans, they're feeling the same as Aston Villa. They're not completely sold on Steve Bruce. So you're saying that they have a fair point there, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. Newcastle fans should be worried. I'm telling you now, I'm one of these people that study styles of play, and there was just nothing there. There was absolutely nothing. Newcastle, you know, I've seen it in the media recently, and in terms of, you know, he's being bigged up and such, and that happened at Villa. You know, it's almost like he's got, you know, friends in the media that big him up, and I'm reading these articles, and I'm kind of thinking, no, this is not the way. This is not football. It's anti-football. And, you know, he's, to be fair, he's done better than what I thought he would, certainly over the last few weeks. You know, you're talking, you know, it's no mean feat to beat the likes of Man United, West Ham, Bournemouth.
Spurs.
But over a period of time, trust me when I say, that is just not sustainable football, and they will struggle. I expect them to be deep in the mire come the end of the season, most certainly.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh, that was really strange. I felt like we lost you there.
It just sorry.
All of a sudden ended up. I thought you decided to just go back on what you were saying about Steve Bruce. But you mentioned there that, you know, they've got really good, a few good wins under their belt this season, you know, reeling off the teams there. They sit in 13th position, 15 points, 4 points in front of Villa. And this is a team, you're saying, you don't expect Villa to be down there. You expect Newcastle to be down there. If Newcastle get a result, you know, that goes to 7 points. And that sort of stretches that gap even further. Bruce is going to be up for it. They are on a good run, though. Villa, obviously, free, but with three defeats. But we've had this international break. How are you expecting Newcastle? Well, you mentioned Steve Bruce doesn't really do tactics. But what are you mentioning? Because you do watch the styles of play. How will they set up? And how do you think this game will pan out?
Well, I think it's going to be, I'm expecting a bit of a ferocious game. I think Steve Bruce, having managed us and managed Jack and knowing that he'll be coming back from an injury, you know, I expect him to get a few kicks, to be honest. I don't think it's the best of games under the floodlights at Villa Park in what will be a vibrant atmosphere, a bit frantic. I don't think it's the best of games to be going back into, but we need him. So, that's by the by. In terms of, again, I think that they've, they're particularly strong on their left side with Willems down there, and that Saint Maximin. He looks, a semi-good player. To be fair, he seems to be doing quite well for them. I would expect them to set up not so much a flat back five, is because they've had a tendency to play more of a three with Willems and Yedlin getting up on either flank. I expect them to just keep things tight. I don't think they'll be, coming here and trying to outplay us or anything like that. I expect them to keep it really tight. I think we're going to be up for it. I fancy us for the 3 points. I really do.
Yeah, well, they're on a run, Villa aren't. But, you know, it's the leveller when the international break comes in. Villa have had longer to prepare, longer to recharge their batteries. They're going to be up for it. Dean Smith will have them well drilled. What is your score prediction then?
Score prediction, I'm going with 3-1.
3-1, right. I weren't expecting anything different. That will just compound the misery and it will just, for Newcastle, to bring them further back down and separate that gap from Villa and the bottom three. Ryan, always a pleasure to have you on talking about Villa. And it is the game next Monday. I know we're going to try and get you on very close afterwards for the Villa Fan Show so we can do a live reaction. We will work it out somehow, even if you have to sing from us and chat to us all the way from the whole end. Maybe we'll get Grealish on the line as well. We'll soon see how it goes. But hopefully at that 10 o'clock next Monday on the Villa Fan Show, it'll be a very positive one after you've just beaten Newcastle 3-1. But Ryan Pitcher there from under a gaslit lamp. Please check him out for all your Villa coverage and of Aston Villa women as well, who are absolutely flying in the Women's Championship this year. But this has been the Villa Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins and Ryan Pitcher. We will see you next Monday at 10.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.